Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. We've been doing a series on kingdom foundations. Today we're going to look at King on the Kingdom. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious everlasting God, we're grateful for your favor to us by opening your word to us. We ask you for your grace upon us today. God, your favor upon us, that as we study your word, we see you, we hear you, and that changes us, that we may see the King of the Kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We've been doing a series on Foundation of Kingdom. Last week we kind of took a little detour because we talked about the other. I've been so excited about this new year. It's going to be like nothing we've ever seen or had before. And that's why, you know, I hear people talking about a new year, another year. But it's not just another year like an additional year. And that's why we looked at the two others, the difference of two, like one more of the same, or another as in a different one. And I believe that's where we are. We've been looking at foundation, and we spent the first Monday on that, spending a great deal of time. I hope you got something out of it, talking about the different gospels and what, while they all share the gospel of Jesus, they also have a little bit different slant on it because of who was writing it, to whom they were writing it, what their assignment was. We established John isn't going to play into this too much because it shows him as a son of God, that spiritual side. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they were what we call the synoptic gospels. That means sort of the same thing as in each of them, with only a slightly different slant. And last time we talked about the incredible numbers of times that in Matthew it is referred to as the kingdom of heaven. That's because they were basically, his focus was on the Jewish Christians. Mark and Luke, Mark was laid the foundation, and then Matthew went the one way, Luke went the other way, which was to, of all of humanity, he was the Son of Man. I don't want to go back through everything, but just to set the scene for you, that's why it is exclusively called the Kingdom of God. Never once is it referred to as the Kingdom of Heaven in either Mark or Luke, but it does in Matthew. But it's still the kingdom. And so I wanted us to understand that before we got into it. So the phrase that had been ringing in my soul, which is why we're doing this series, is, you know, I hear so many interpretations. I hear so many prophecies, I hear so many teachings. But when we come to the kingdom of God, the phrase that kept rolling in my soul is when Jesus said, "And what should I liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison should I compare it?" And I thought, you know, instead of just having our opinions about it, let's go to the King of the Kingdom. And I love that because we're going to read a parable today, and it's a most important and powerful parable. We may run a little long because we've got to read a lot of scripture and then draw it together. But in it, Jesus shares this parable, and he says, this is the kingdom of heaven. This is how he likens it. We'll have more later, hopefully next week, maybe the one after if we don't get everything done today. But he is likening it. This is what the king has to say about the kingdom, not somebody else's idea. This is the king's idea of the kingdom. And it's very important because he lays that out for us. So we go to the source. When you want to know about the kingdom, go to the king. And he even says to it, in this parable that we're going to read, and he shared it with the masses, and they are like, oh, okay, yeah, and went away. But his disciples, those that were close to him, those who understood him, those who knew how he was, which hopefully is us, they came to him and said, "Sir, can you explain that parable to us?" And then he says to them, you get it. See, I tell them this story, and they go away thinking whatever they think. But you've had this very loose interpretation, but you've had the wisdom and the humility and the insight to come back and ask me about it. So today, that's what we're doing. We're going back to the King of the Kingdom and asking him about this parable. So we're going to read. I'm going to give you the scripture references quickly so you know. We're going to look at Matthew 13, about 3 through 23, Luke 8, 4 through 18, and then Mark chapter 4, and I don't even know that I've got we'll say Mark 4 through 25. We'll just leave it at that for the moment. Okay, so, and that's this. Let's start with Matthew, because where I am now, you'll see all the points that they have in common, but I also want you to see a few of the little differences. Okay, let's start with Matthew, and we're in chapter 13. We start with about verse 3. "And he spake many things unto them by parable, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." See, we just stop there. If you're a sower, sow. There's a scripture in Isaiah that says, you know, he gave seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And I just had a hard time with that. And then I thought about something like peanuts. Somebody gives you a handful of peanuts. What's your thought? Most people, I did this with an example in a place once, and I looked over at the prophet. He'd already popped his in his mouth. But as you look at him, what do you see? Do you see food, or do you see, if I sow this seed, then I will get a harvest? So what determines whether you're an eater or a sower is not God. It's you. When you look at what's in your hand, God blesses you with, say, some cash. Do you say, oh, thank God, that's the answer to my bill or whatever? Or do you say, oh, thank God, now I have something to sow into somebody else's life? So he gave sower seed, and what did he do? He went out and sowed it. That's why he was a sower. It's very simple. "Behold, a sower went forth to" what? To sow. You're not a sower if you sit at home with your seed. "And when he'd sowed, some seed fell by the side, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth." Watch, deepness of earth is a little different. "And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away." Yep. "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." See, listen to some of these words. "But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear." I'm just going to stop because we're going to get to this. One of the versions, I believe it is Luke, just says they grew 100-fold. But Matthew and Mark both say 30, 60, 100. And you know what? A lot of times we spend time comparing ourselves to other people that, well, I've got a 60-fold, they only have 30-fold, somebody else, well, I get 100-fold. All of it was good seed, and all of it was on good ground, and some produced 30, some produced 60, some produced 100. It was still good seed. We're not to compare each other by the bounty of the harvest, but that there is a harvest. If one has 30 and one has 100, praise the Lord. There are other elements that we may not know about, okay? How much water there is, how much other things there are, how many weeds grew, etc. But the good ground produced. That's the full stop. It produced some 30, some 60, some 100, but all of that was good seed and good ground. Now here's what I was talking about. 10, the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Whew, yeah, that's us, the mysteries. That's what we're looking for. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from shall be taken away that which even he has. That's an important scripture. That's the one I hope we get to today. Therefore he spoke to them in parable, because they seeing not, and hearing not, neither do they understand. But in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, by seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted. But I shall heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. He's told them the parable before, but now he's giving the explanation. Too many of us, well, you know, Apostle was talking about the word of knowledge and word of wisdom. The way I like to think about it is word of knowledge is what God gives us that we couldn't know by our own senses, our own study, our own understanding. Word of wisdom is what to do about it. The word of knowledge may be there's an accident up ahead. Well, what's the word of wisdom? Should I divert so I don't get caught up in it? Should I go that way so I can pray for them? You know, what the word of wisdom is what we do about the word of knowledge. So these gentlemen came, and women at this point, because it just says disciples, came and asked him, this is a parable, what does it mean? And here's what he said. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower, verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, da-da-da-da, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Okay? But he received the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and anon with joy receives it, yet hath not any root in himself, but dureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arise, because of the word, the persecution, the tribulation arises. Why? Not because of your good looks, not because where you're from, it not because of your denomination, it arises for the word. Therefore, I often see people who have no tribulation, no persecution, and they believe, oh, God smiled on them. Sometimes I think to myself, but I don't say it out loud, well, that's just because they don't have the word. Because if you've got the word, you're going to have some tribulation and some persecution. That doesn't mean God isn't bigger than that. But anyway, we'll move on. When persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. By and by means immediately. Doesn't mean what we mean now, which is sooner or later. But immediately he is offended. 22, he also that received the seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. One of the, you know, we say Solomon was a wise man. And I love one of there's a scripture that I absolutely love. The prayer is, God, I'm asking of you only two things. Now, this is my, again, my loose interpretation. I'm asking you only two things. Don't give me so little that I despair and I curse God and I walk away from him. But also, don't give me so much that I'm lifted up with pride and I've got it all together and I walk away from God. And I think of that. Sometimes people, you know, think that less makes them more spiritual. It doesn't. But also, more doesn't make you more spiritual. That was some of the problem with the whole prosperity gospel. I believe in prosperity, but if it chokes you and it chokes the word and it chokes God away from you, that, as Jethro would say, the good you do is not good. All right. And he becomes unfruitful. Doesn't mean he's plucked out. Doesn't mean he doesn't grow. You can't say, oh, well, there's no... Yes, there's growth there, but it becomes unfruitful. The end of this is to be fruitful. It's not how big you grow. It's not how fast you grow. It isn't how shiny your leaves are. It doesn't matter how deep your green is. It's, do you bear fruit? If you know anything about orchards, which some of you may not, but we live in an area where there is a lot of that, some of the best producing trees are the short, gnarled ones, stooped over. They produce more fruit. If you put all your energy into growing but not producing fruit, let me not belabor it. We've got a long way to go. But he that receives seed unto good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, which also bears fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. All right, that was Matthew. Now we're going to flip to Luke, and we're going to read Luke. We're going to go back to Mark eventually. Luke, we are in chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we're going to start with about verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come out to him out of every city, he spake by parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Now, you notice there's a little bit of difference. That trod down is a little bit different. You can go back and study some of these differences sometimes. I think it's great. We want to look at where they're similar. We also want to look at where they're different. Right now, I'm going to go for similar. And some fell, upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, boom, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Now, remember, I think it was where we read first, Matthew, it says that it was because there wasn't much soil. Here it says it's moisture. Okay? But it's still the same parable. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. Okay, Luke is the only one that says 100. Mark and Matthew both say 30, 60, 100. Okay, his disciples, and when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears, let him hear. All right. Verse 9, and his disciples asked him, saying, what must this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Ooh, I love that again. Maybe next week's, yeah, we may have to go for 2 weeks more. Next week's may be the mystery of the kingdom. I like that. But to others in parable, that seeing they might not see, hearing they might not understand. There's a difference between again, in the Greek, and I won't belabor it, there's two kinds of seeing. There's seeing and even two kinds of knowing. Let's go with knowledge because you can understand this a little bit better. There are things that you may know. Maybe you have read the manual that comes with your fire extinguisher. That's, what is it? What is the pull, evacuate, sweep, and so anyway, whatever it is, there's instructions on how to use a fire extinguisher. So you can say, yes, I know how to use a fire extinguisher. But you've never been in a fire. If you've been in a fire, have a kitchen fire, and you pull out that extinguisher and you do what it says and you put the fire out, then you can say, I know how to use a fire extinguisher. There's a difference between head knowledge and experiential knowledge. And there's literally there are two different Greek words for that. So a lot of times people may say they know something, but I want the guy who's been there, done that. Okay. So he says to them that that seeing they may not see, hearing they might not understand. Now, the parable is this. He goes on to explain. The seed is the word of God. So many people want to use those parables. And if you say, I'm just making something up, that's okay. But don't say, this is the parable. And some preacher may get up and say, on Sunday morning at the collection time, let's sow that seed. Now, I'm not saying that giving is not sowing seed, but don't invoke the parable of the sower, because the sower sows the seed, but the seed is the word of God. No equivocation. He doesn't say it might be or sometimes it is. The seed is the word of God. That's why I love the word, because we'll get to that too. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then comes the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13, those on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell on the thorns are those which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures. Now, the others didn't talk about pleasure, did it? It says the riches of this world, but doesn't talk about pleasures. So there's a little bit of a change there, too, of this life, and brings no fruit to perfection. Doesn't, you know, I've got some trees that are like ornamental pears. And so they blossom and they're beautiful and they have these little kind of nubbins that will never mature to what we would call a pear. Now, sometimes the birds get up on those trees and they eat those little things. Same with like ornamental crab apples. They make these little tiny crab apples that the robins love to eat. But we used to have crab apple trees where you pick them and you can cook them down. They're good for pectin. That's why you use them with a lot of other fruits and berries especially. But they can't be, they have a little bit of fruit, but they're not brought to perfection. You can't feed off of them, okay? Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth with patience. This is another change that you won't see with Matthew and Mark. Luke is the only one that talks about only the hundredfold. He also talks about what you need to bring forth the harvest. The others say the harvest comes forth. He tells you that you have to have an honest and good heart, okay? And that having heard the word, you keep it, okay? And bring the forth fruit with patience, amen? Oh, I'm sorry, did I tell you when I was talking about Solomon and what his wisdom was? Okay, never mind, we'll get back to that. Sorry. But, you know, the thing is, well, Solomon, he prayed for wisdom. And I always think, you know, he's such a smart man. God gave him the gift of wisdom. But if I were in his boat, you know what I'd have prayed? I'd have prayed, God, give me wisdom and allow me to keep it. He was like the wisest man on the face of the earth, and yet his own philandering with all the wives and the concubines, basically they lured him into not being the king he was meant to be, right? So it isn't just about acquiring wisdom, it's also about maintaining wisdom, keeping wisdom. So that looks to me like Solomon's Achilles heel. That's my view of it. All right. So he says, and having heard the word, they bring forth fruit with patience. And then we'll skip 16 and 17 for the moment. But let's go on down to 18. Now take heed, therefore, how you hear. Now, this is the only one. The other ones say, take heed what you hear. But Luke says, take heed how you hear what you hear. Okay, you can hear and not understand. You can hear and understand. And that requires how you hear. There are a lot of people who've heard the gospel and not been born again. Why? They've heard the word, but they didn't hear it to the end of understanding. Does that make sense? So not just take heed what you hear, but take heed how you hear. Don't the Pharisees and the Sadducees all heard Jesus preaching too, didn't they? But they scoffed at him. They mocked him. They said, oh, he's doing it for this reason or that, or he's an eccentric. Oh, they had a myriad of conspiracy theories. But the reason it was not just they all heard the word, but it's how they heard it. They didn't hear it with what? An open and honest heart, a good heart, and with patience. Sometimes we get too carried away. All right. For whosoever has... Okay, well, let's skip the other half of 18 because we're going to come back to that too. All right, so now we've read those. Now we're going to go to Mark because Mark is kind of what I probably will speak the most out of. But I want you to hear all of them. Since I said that last week, I want you to see each one. Number one, they're talking about the same parable, but they each record it just a little differently, probably because my guess is that's not just one time Jesus taught that parable. He probably taught it and taught it and taught it and taught it. Amen. And but each one picked up on a little bit different aspect for various reasons we won't go into. All right. Mark now, chapter 4. Okay, let's start with, I didn't even put that down, did I? Just like Mark 4. Okay. Verse 2, he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Now remember, the same end, the birds, you know, ate it up. But remember, the other one said it was trodden underfoot and then was eaten up. All right. But when the sun was up, I skipped a verse, and some fell on stony ground, and where it had not much earth. Now remember, Luke said no, not much moisture. Matthew said it didn't have any deep earth. Here it says it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. There you go. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. So it is the imagery we have, and I know that too many of you have not lived connected enough with the earth to understand some of these agricultural analogies. But a plant has to put root downward before it can put, you know, sprout upward, which is also in the scriptures, that we're to put root downward and we're to put branches upward. Okay. When the sun was come up, because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns. And then the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Again, it didn't say it didn't grow. Didn't say it wasn't planted. Didn't say it, but it didn't bear fruit. It yielded no fruit. And another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. Okay, now we got another little added thing, sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, him that hath ears, let him hear. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him, about him with the 12. The 12 were there, but there were many others beside the 12. Don't think it was just the 12. Asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. I'm falling in love with that phrase today, aren't I? the mystery of the kingdom. And we may get there today. We may get there next week. Anyway, so he says unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom. And now I've lost my verse 11. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and that hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Please mark that in your Bible if you don't have it. Commit that one to memory if you can. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Again, those same simple concepts. Verse 15, and those that were on the wayside where the word was sown, but when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, and those were likewise, it doesn't matter whether it, see, we think, oh, well, look, this was eaten, the first one was eaten before it even got a chance to sprout. The second, likewise, was sown on stony ground. When they had heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. The others said joy. But having no root in themselves, not, see, the root is in yourself. It's not the earth that provides the root. It's the seed, when it sprouts, puts a root downward. And that's where the root has to be. There has to be roots in you. Amen? I often talk about Mary and Martha, and we always choose Mary and we scoff at Martha. But I tell you, sometime on this program, I'll teach Mary and Martha. But Mary, Martha, Mary had a sit-down ministry. Let me just go very quickly through some of Mary. So she sat down at Jesus' feet. Oh, we think that's lovely, okay? But then when Lazarus was dead, when it was important, you know, Jesus had chided Martha. But when the mourners came, Mary sat down with the mourners in her house, did she not? But it says, and Martha went to the edge of town. She went to the city limits looking, because she knew Jesus would come. So Martha, while she may have been scoffed at before by not sitting at Jesus's feet, but she'd learned something. If Jesus is going to come, he's going to come. So what did she do? She went to the edge of town and waited for him. But Mary was sitting in the house. She had a sit-down ministry. You get it? And so, but the thing is, she sat with whoever there was. If Jesus was there, she sat with Jesus. When the mourners came, she sat with them. There are a lot of people who by every interpretation of every gospel that comes down the road. That's why the root is in themselves. Okay. They don't blow with whichever wind. One day it's this apostle, the next day it's another teacher, the other day it's some prophet. And they are the ones that often, they don't have a root in themselves. And then they'll blame the churches from which they came. Oh, that place was terrible. Well, you know what? I've been in some pretty strange places, and it's never thrown me off the gospel, because I don't expect my root to be in them or in that. It has to be within myself, in the word. Amen? The word, the seed is the word, and the root for that seed has to be in me. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. These were likewise, immediately they received a gladness, no root in themselves, so endured, but for a time. Afterwards, after what? We don't know. Is the afterward short, long? We don't know. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, again, we see that, immediately, see that by and by and immediately are the same, they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches. Again, there's a little difference in wording there. And the lust of other things. Okay, now it adds a third element, doesn't it? The lust of other things. Some people just want other. They just want more and more and more. There's never enough. Amen. Entering in, they choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Didn't say it would have had, but it becomes that way. Okay. And then verse 20, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. All right. So we maybe not going to get past much more than this, but I think even so, you will have seen some things from this. Next time we'll talk about the mystery of the kingdom, but we got one place yet to go. Why? Why, if I'm talking about foundations of kingdoms and I'm looking for the king of the kingdom, would I go to this parable? I wanted to show you how profoundly it is in each one of the synoptic gospels. Now we're in Mark, and this is why I wanted to do this one last. We're in Mark. Go back. I told you to mark this. Verse 13. He said unto them, know you not this parable? That's why it bothers me profoundly when people just get loose and free with interpretations of parables. I'm not saying you can't tell a story that has another meaning, but the king of the kingdom said this parable has a specific meaning. And if you'll see each one of those gospels tell the same parable, there's some little differences, which it's important to see what they have together, and it's important to see what they have different. But how the blueprint is the same, and this is obviously an important thing. And here's what he says about this parable. Know ye not this parable? This is the king of the kingdom telling a parable about the kingdom. Okay? When you want to know something, you know, if I want to know something about someplace, I'm not going to run to people who've heard about it, people who've read about it, people who've seen it on the internet. I'm going to call the person who's there. Amen? When there's something I need to know, I want to go to the source. So if I want to understand the foundation of the kingdom, I got to talk to the man who says, this is how I compare it, and this is what it's like to me. With what should I compare it? It's like this. And he tells this parable. Then he not only tells the parable, he explains what the parable means. The seed is the word of God. Full stop. Period. That's it. You can't say, well, maybe the seed is our tithe, or maybe the seed is our Bible study, maybe this. No, no. The seed is the word of God. Now, can the word of God be represented in your tithe? Absolutely. Can the word of God be presented? I wanted to say something about tithing, because people always talk about it. Oh, it's the tenth. It's not the tenth. Read your scriptures. It is not the tenth or a tenth. It's the first tenth. Ooh, the first tenth. Why? Most of you never farmed, and even now you go out, if you have any kind of little garden or anything, you'll go buy a new packet of seeds every year. But for the old-time farmers, what you do is when you get your first harvest in of something, let's say you're growing squash, you open that thing up and you dry those seeds, and you keep those seeds to the side because they're your harvest for next year. The fruit is in the seed, and the seed is in the fruit. Do you see that full cycle? That my growth is in my tithe, and my tithe is within that which increases. So you take the first tenth. Now, again with numbers, first is that creative one, and it's the living one. He was the firstborn among many brethren. That means we're all going to be born into that same spirit. You get it? So there's life in the first. Amen? And there's power in the first. There's creativity in the first. So you take the first seed, and the seed has to have life in it, and that's what I sow as my tithe. Amen? There's life in the seed, and the first tenth. Okay, I just wanted to take time to share that. The sower sows the word. So when you sow a tithe, you're sowing a word. The word, that it's a tangible word, but the word contains within it the tithe, doesn't it? I don't remember what other examples I used. I don't remember. But the sower sows the word. The seed is the word. Amen. And it goes on down. He tells you exactly what it is. Know you not this parable? How then will you know all parables? The king of the kingdom telling a parable about the kingdom gives you an explanation of the kingdom. And then he says about this parable of the sower, he says, this is the foundation, the foundation. And if you get this parable, you can understand all parables. Whew. See how powerful that is? That's why we started with that. I know it seemed like I did a lot of ground laying the other days, but this is why we're starting with this one. The king of the kingdom said about his parable of the kingdom, if you know this parable, you know all parables. You will have the mystery of the kingdom. We're going to do that one next week because it's taken me a while to get here and I don't want to rush it. But that's why we spend our time on this one. Know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? This is the key that unlocks every parable. And not just the ones written down, but the parables that we see in life, the parables that God shows us. These are it. How then will you not know all parables? Now, we've talked about the parable. We've talked about the interpretation of the parable from the king. But then we're going to talk about, let me say, how do I say it? The not the moral or the lesson, but the mystery that's in that parable. We have the parable, we have the explanation, we have the key, but next time we are going to talk about the mystery of the parable. I'm going to read one verse to you, two verses. We've seen it in others. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I'm going to read to you out of Mark 4 because I'm there. Verse 24, he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Remember that it was even, who was it? It was Luke who said, take heed how you hear what you hear. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And unto you that hear, more shall be given. That all sounds great. But verse 25, for he that hath, to him shall be given. I like that part. But he that hath not, even that which he has, shall be taken away. I was quoted out in another version, sorry. But anyway, him that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. Well, I don't want to be in that category. That's where the mystery lies, is in those two verses. And it's in, again, in Mark, Matthew, Luke. That's what we'll look at next week, the mystery of the parable. Amen. The mystery of the kingdom. Father God, we are grateful for today looking into this parable and seeing you spoke it. You gave it to us that we may understand all parables. That, Father God, you gave Jesus on this earth, spoke this parable, knowing that the day will come when he will be crowned king of the kingdom, king of the kingdom of heaven, king of the kingdom of God, and that, Father God, he wants us to be a part of it. So we have to know the parable and conduct ourselves appropriately. We don't want to be eaten up by the fowls or the devil that comes along and snatches us. We don't want to spring up and then wither because we don't have root. We don't want to have root but then be choked by the cares of the world, the possession of things, the desire for more. God, we want to be that seed sown on good ground that produces. God, if my neighbor produces 100 and I only produce 30, I'm going to rejoice in my 30. That I may not want 100, but I'm going to rejoice because I have been given the proof that good seed is sown in me. You have sowed the word in us. Father God, today we know that this is the mystery of the parable. the sower has sowed the word. You've sowed it into our lives. Thank you, Father God, for this word today, for giving us understanding, giving us curiosity, giving us a desire to know more, that this year may be our year of being the good seed, sown in the good ground, producing the good harvest. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm looking forward to being with you again next week. God bless you.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcast by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him.